Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. I am waiting with bated breath right now as the Boston Celtics are on the clock with 2 minutes to go at pick 54 in the second round of the NBA draft. And do you want to know why I am waiting with bated breath, Ian, as to what's going to happen here?
Why is that?
Because the Lakers have the 55th pick. And the Lakers, everybody thinks, are going to draft LeBron's son. Even though, by all accounts, LeBron's son sucks. And I just want to see, it for my own eyes, if that proud franchise of that once incredible sport, the NBA, has fallen off. There is no doubt about it. It is embarrassing how much the NBA has fallen off. The ratings keep going down. Now, look, they still are making a lot of money, and that's great. But there was no buzz for the playoffs this year. I think you can argue that LeBron has done a very good job of almost ruining that league, although I do put more blame with Kevin Durant. But if LeBron James can get his podcast buddy hired as the coach of this once proud franchise, and he can get his son drafted to the team, it will confirm my belief that the NBA is nothing but a bunch of bullcrap. So Boston's got 40 seconds to pick, and then Bronny's up. They're going to draft Bronny, aren't they?
Nah.
You don't think they're going to draft him?
No.
What makes you so sure? I hope so. If Bronny doesn't get drafted, I will be, and I'll never watch a game.
You mean, is Boston going to take him?
No, I'm talking about the Lakers.
In general? Oh, I would think the Lakers will take him.
Oh,
yeah.
No. You cannot take LeBron's son. You cannot do that.
That's what LeBron wants, dog. LeBron wants to play with his son.
But who cares? Like, you've got to do what's best for the team. And it's not best for the team to draft LeBron's son because LeBron's son is terrible.
Well, what if that means you lose LeBron? Is that what's best for the team?
Will LeBron really leave if they don't take his son?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. It's
I don't like it.
Would I be super surprised? Probably not.
I don't like it. Take Jalen Bridges out of Baylor, whoever the hell that is. Take him. Take Isaac Jones out of Washington State, whoever that is. Don't take LeBron's son. The Celtics pick is in, by the way. I have no idea who the... Please take Bronny, Boston, even though he stinks. Anywho, I have been reading a lot of Canadian press lately. I'm actually becoming quite a fan of Canada, though I'm not sure I'd ever want to live there. But I have been reading a lot of Canadian press. And for some reason, the Canadian press is absolutely obsessed with this idea of Leon Draisaitl not being a part of the Edmonton Oilers. By the way, the Celtics have taken Anton Watson.
Yeah, Twitter's kind of ruining the Lakers pick here.
It's Bronny.
It's Bronny.
No! Oh, no, no. Why?
Going to the Lakers, baby.
Why? Why this sport? Basketball used to once be such a great sport.
The first ever father-son duo to be in the NBA at the same time.
Oh, God.
Per Shams.
Basketball used to be such a proud sport. It used to be such a... I'm looking at the TV right now. ESPN's got this Rob Pelinka. They're showing the Lakers draft headquarters at the UCLA Health Training Center in El Segundo, California. And they show this Rob Pelinka, who is a freaking dodo brain. He's the general manager, and he's dialing in the phone. And it's like, you losers, have some self-respect. Like, just make LeBron the coach, make LeBron the GM, make LeBron. I mean, LeBron already is all those things, but just go ahead and make it official. Just name the team after LeBron. And here's Stephen A. talking about it.
The L.A. LeBrons.
What a joke.
Or the L.A. Jameses.
What a freaking clown show. Do you think the late Dr. Jim Buss would ever, excuse me, Dr. Jerry Buss, do you think Dr. Jerry Buss would ever let a player just hijack the franchise?
It's a new era.
Clearly. Bronny. What a freaking joke. That used to be such a proud league. And I know that the NHL will probably never be more popular than the NBA in America, though the NBA is on the down and the NHL is on the up. But I cannot tell you how much more I enjoy the NHL than the NBA. Again, I know I'm probably in the minority on this. Now, I do think more people care about baseball than care about basketball. Like, they care about MLB baseball than care about NBA basketball. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I just believe that. But when it comes to those two sports that have roughly the same season, hockey and basketball, it is not close how much more enjoyable the NHL is than the NBA. It's so much more enjoyable because the NBA, there's like three teams that can win. During the regular season, all the good players sit out all the games, and it's like the best part of the entire sport is the Charles Barkley postgame show, and that's going away. It's terrible. Whereas hockey, every night, even in the regular season, it's a battle. You get to the playoffs, and it is like a war of attrition. In basketball, they're just kind of like, do I have to play today? No, Kawhi, you go ahead and take another week off. And it, like, could you ever imagine an NHL team drafting a player's son just to make that player happy? Is there any NHL player that is in charge of a team? Has there ever been an NHL player?
You mean?
That has run a team the way LeBron runs his team?
Maybe Crosby. Not quite, but I wouldn't be, you know, they make a lot of decisions based on what Sidney Crosby and his feeling, I think, lately.
Really?
A little, yeah.
Like Crosby's running the team, even though he's way past his prime?
I mean, I don't know about running the team, but I mean, decisions as far as bringing Malkin back or Letang or trying to keep some of these older guys on the core.
Have you noticed that the teams that do that are all terrible? Like, the Lakers are terrible. They acquiesce to everything LeBron wants. You're talking about the Penguins. They suck now. The Jets and how they just got on their knees for Aaron Rodgers. And they suck. Have you guys noticed that? Bronny, what a freaking joke. And here's the other sad part about that crap league. The other part of that league that just is so disappointing to me is that not one other team got up and said, nah, we're going to ruin this for LeBron and the Lakers, making a mockery of our sport. When Deshaun Watson wanted to trade out of Houston and Aaron Rodgers wanted to trade out of Green Bay, there were teams, I watched this on TV, which probably was technically collusion anyways, but I was seeing on TV, Dan Graziano was reporting that teams did not want the Packers to acquiesce to Aaron because they did not want to become the NBA, where the players run the league. And in this case, LeBron runs the league. Last season, Bronny, 4.8 points, 2.8 rebounds, 2.1 assists per game. I mean, it's a freaking joke. That's like Skip Bayless' high school stats. He averaged like 1.4 points a game.
Well, didn't he miss a bunch of time because of his heart condition?
That doesn't change your per game average.
No.
Bronny went into cardiac arrest during a summer workout and underwent a procedure to repair a congenital heart defect. Whatever. I'm just looking at the... I'm trying to see if they were going to put stats.
So he didn't play until December. Yeah, I don't know.
This is just such a joke. This is just such a joke. This league is such a joke. The NBA... I am starting to take the NBA as seriously as I take wrestling. Because it's just, you got all these guys in suits talking about these things like they're real things. Like they're breaking down the Lakers' decision to draft Bronny. There's a decision? Yep, LeBron wanted it, so they gave it to him. What about the coach? Oh, yeah, he never coached a game before, but he did a podcast with LeBron, so they made him the coach. And this is the most proud franchise in the sport. What a joke. Okay. I'm going to get to the Draisaitl take about the Canadian press, and we'll do that next. I wanted to do that here, but I just got caught up in Bronny Mania. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And you know what? Let's be nice to the people since they sat through me yelling and screaming about Bronny James. Let's give away a pair of tickets. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025. You want a pair of tickets to see Sarah McLachlan at Ascend Amphitheater on Saturday night. Good luck on that front. And tune into 1025 The Game this Sunday for coverage of the Ally 400 race at the National Super Speedway. Coverage presented by Green Trees will begin at 1:30. The race is at 2:30. Green Trees is a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary located in Hendersonville with a new location in West Nashville and available online at greentreescompany.com.
Well, what he also did say is that it's going to take some time, he believes, to figure out what he wants and what the Oilers want. And the good news about that is I think both sides are on the same page. Yes, Leon Draisaitl can sign an extension as of Monday, as of July 1st, but that's not a deadline. That's really the starting point. And I think the Oilers front office is willing to be patient here, allow some time for obviously everyone to process the loss they've just gone through in the Cup Final, to figure out where their priorities lie, and ultimately to get down to some contract negotiations. But you know, this looms as a huge decision because walking him to free agency, I don't believe, is their preference. I'm not sure they'll even allow that to happen. We'll see how things progress through the summer. But they're going to deal with their UFAs first, then get to Draisaitl after.
That was Chris Johnston on TSN. There's this whole Canadian media obsession with Leon Draisaitl. There's a story about Leon Draisaitl, or a narrative about Leon Draisaitl based upon nothing. I have read multiple articles about Leon Draisaitl, who, by the way, I believe is the greatest player in the history of games against the Predators. Like, if you had to rank the best players to ever play against the Predators, number one is Leon Draisaitl.
Pavel Datsyuk is up there.
He's not as good as Leon Draisaitl.
I don't know, man.
Datsyuk did kill them.
I mean, in the 2000s till 2000, you know, oh, man, he just destroyed them.
Draisaitl scores like 4 goals a game when they play.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit of recency bias, but I don't know. Datsyuk just flashed into my head, but...
You know, the first game they played against Edmonton this year was like in the beginning of October, middle of October. And I said to Barry, because it was on a Tuesday, I said to Barry in a much cruder way, I said, you know, this team, they just beat the crap out of the Predators every time they play. And this was off the air. And Barry said, you know, a lot of people have been talking about that, but hopefully tonight will be different. And they lost like 7-2. And I wasn't even mad about it. I'm just like, that's what happens when Leon Draisaitl shows up at Bridgestone Arena. So anywho, the Canadian press is all obsessed about whether or not Draisaitl will re-sign in Edmonton. And I guess there must be some smoke because they keep talking about it. Not that Draisaitl might leave, but that no one is sure if he's going to stay in Edmonton. And that's kind of the thing, right? Draisaitl's in the last year of his deal. And if he plays through next year without a contract and then he gets into free agency, then anything can happen. And so Edmonton would like to lock him up. And the only control Edmonton has is to try to move him and get something in exchange if he wants to go somewhere else. And he says, I'm not going to resign in Edmonton. Then they've got to try to move Draisaitl. But there's no indication that Leon Draisaitl is actually available. And I'm sure I know what many of you are thinking, which is if Leon Draisaitl does want to trade out of Edmonton or if he does become available, then you as a Nashville Predator fan, you want Leon Draisaitl. Well, duh, so does everybody. But here's the problem. If he's available, they can't acquire him. Like, I would want the Predators to do whatever it takes in order to get Leon Draisaitl. If Leon Draisaitl, like Matthew Tkachuk 2 years ago, if Leon Draisaitl goes to Edmonton and says, look, I like it here and I like McDavid, but I want to go somewhere else. The way Kyrie Irving, and I don't think that Leon Draisaitl is anywhere near the level of a-hole that Kyrie Irving is. In fact, I don't even think that Draisaitl is one. But, you know, Kyrie Irving went to the Cavs and said, I don't like being number two to LeBron. I'd like to go somewhere else. So if Draisaitl wants to leave Edmonton because, you know, it's Edmonton, or because of the taxes, or because of the weather, or because he's Robin to Batman, I would want him on the Predators. But the Predators don't have the assets to be able to acquire Leon Draisaitl. The only way you could acquire Draisaitl is if you built a package around Philip Forsberg. But there's a problem with this, which is that you gave Philip Forsberg a full no movement. And so because you gave Forsberg a full no move, he's not going to accept a trade to Edmonton. ask yourself this. Would you accept a trade to Edmonton? Of course not. So that's kind of a non-starter. Let's imagine for 5 minutes here. Really more like 5 seconds. Let's imagine for 5 seconds that Philip Forsberg didn't have a full no move. That he had just signed an 8x8 and that there was no trade protection a la Ryan Johansson's old contract. Then I could see a package of Draisaitl and Jack Campbell's contract for Forsberg, a first-round pick this year, a first-round pick next year, and Tanner Mullendike, you know, one of your top prospects. I think that's probably the kind of package it would take because other teams around the league with really good players are going to be offering those really good players to try to get Leon Draisaitl. But you can't trade Forsberg, so it doesn't matter. It's moot. So here, if there is something going on with Draisaitl, here's what I think would be the best thing to happen for the Predators, which is that it remains as uncertain and vague as it is right now. I think Edmonton will do whatever it takes in order to keep both Draisaitl and McDavid. I don't think there is any player on their roster other than those two that they would absolutely go to the barn for. But those two, they'll do whatever it takes to keep. Jeff Jackson is their team president. He apparently is going to run the operation right now because Kenny Holland, their general manager, he didn't technically get fired today. They didn't renew his contract. But in sports, not renewing somebody's contract is basically the same as firing them. I guess getting to Game 7 of the Cup Final wasn't good enough for old Kenny Holland, and they're going to do better with Jeff Jackson running the show. Who is Jeff Jackson, you ask? Jeff Jackson was originally Connor McDavid's agent. So that is now who is running the Edmonton Oilers. They might draft his son onto the team. That's what it, where it feels like it's going. But again, I think they'll go all in. But if it's uncertain, if they don't know what Draisaitl's thinking, if Draisaitl tells them, I don't know, like, I want to play this year out and see what happens. I'm not saying that I'm not coming back, which Matthew Tkachuk said, but I'm also not committing to a new deal. Think Ryan Suter, right? Ryan Suter led everybody to believe that he was interested in coming back, but he really wasn't. So let's say Draisaitl's like that. Then I think if he gets to free agency next year, the Predators could absolutely be in the mix to sign him. But that's the only possible way that I could see the Predators landing Leon Draisaitl because they don't have the assets to trade for him if he does, in fact, ever request a trade. You know, the Predators, when Tkachuk became available, we thought they might have the assets to be able to jump in there. And then Florida offered Jonathan Huberdeau, who had that unbelievable season for Andrew Burnett, and it was like, yeah, you don't have anything on your roster you can trade that's that good. So, makes sense to me. And that would be the same thing that would happen here with Draisaitl. I mean, if Draisaitl was available, somebody texted in earlier and said, go get Sebastian Aho. I'm like, how would you get Sebastian Aho? But if Draisaitl's available, I could see a team saying, hey, we'll include Sebastian Aho in a deal. You don't have those kind of players to trade. So, I mean, I don't really think there's anything there as far as the smoke to the fire about Draisaitl, but even if there is, it's not good for the Predators. It is not good for the Predators. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, playing in Edmonton is way more of a draw than staying in Nashville for a tax break. All I know is this. A week ago, I went down to the Edmonton locker room after they won Game 5 in Florida. And I caught up with Matias Ekholm for a couple of minutes. And it was literally just a, hey, you know, how you been? How are things? You know, that kind of thing. And I could tell you, Matias Ekholm missed being a Predator. That's just since I got. I'm sure he loved being in the Cup Final. I'm sure he's happy in Edmonton. Very hard for him not to get along. But the idea of, well, you know, playing in Edmonton is so much better than the 52% tax in Edmonton. You sure? Plus, it's Edmonton. It's not Toronto. It's not Montreal. It's not Vancouver. It's Edmonton. I mean, it's not Winnipeg, but it's close. Texture says, build a trade package around Soros. Again, we talked about what it would take to get Matthew Tkachuk. Well, they could offer these picks, and they could offer this player. They could offer Tomasino, and they could offer this guy, and they could offer that guy. And then all of a sudden, Jonathan Huberdeau was on the table, and it was like, yeah, they never could have matched that. Kind of the same way there. Grant says Jerome Iginla has the most points against the Predators.
I could buy that, too.
That was a little bit before I cared.
Yeah, I mean, he was up there. He killed them, too. I guess I didn't look up who had the most points. But Iginla's up there. Datsyuk is up there. Draisaitl's up there, for sure.
I mean, I just know that over the last 10 years, Leon Draisaitl has scored about 6 goals every time they seem to play. I mean, it has been fascinating. Okay, there is another element to this that I do want to touch on, which is the Predators. We talk about trading for these guys. We talk about signing guys. We talk about drafting guys. But how many of us can't actually watch these games? Because we may be getting what we really want in the end. And the straw that is stirring the Bally Sports drink is going to be Major League Baseball. And this bankruptcy judge out in Texas, there are some details. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The local TV here is Bally Sports that carries the Predators. I mean, I'm a cord cutter, and I think there are a lot of people out there that are
the cord
cutters. I am the problem. What do you see as the future here? We see Major League Baseball dealing with stuff, and next season.
And so are we. I mean, there's going to be an evolution in terms of how long-term and even short-term fans locally get their team. The streaming digital platforms are going to be an option. There may be more national games. But the whole delivery of our content, particularly on the local basis, is going to evolve. Having said that, first and foremost, we want to make sure it's accessible to our fans. And the business model is obviously going to change depending on how we have to do that.
Gary Bettman last year at the draft, and he was saying, hey, we're going to figure out a way. We want to get our games to our fans. Well, now it's even harder to watch games on Bally Sports. I got the DirecTV app, and for the last week, they have not been airing Atlanta Braves games. You click it, like the Braves are on Bally Sports South or whatever it is. You click it, and it just gives you like an info page saying, you know, the Braves take on the St. Louis Cardinals at 8 o'clock today on the program. And it's like, yeah, it's 8:14. I'd like to watch the second inning. Let's go. Nope. No Braves for you. And I'm like, you talk about just a piece of crap company, this Bally Sports. And I can go on and on and on about what's so bad about it, but the real issue that you guys care about is the fact that we can't watch the games. So ESPN has kind of dug into what's the latest, what's happening as far as Bally Sports is concerned. The most important piece of the Bally Sports puzzle is baseball. Because as much as basketball and hockey are also a part of these contracts, baseball has 162 games, so they make the most amount of money from baseball. This is from ESPN, quote, a high-ranking league executive speaking on the condition of anonymity this month called the Comcast situation. Again, remember, during the Preds-Vancouver Canucks game, Ian, one of the only people in the world that watched the Bally Sports broadcast over the national broadcast, in the middle of the game, Ian, they cut you out.
I can't remember exactly. They said it was going to end at, what, midnight?
Something like that.
Or 11 o'clock Central, and it was like 11:23 or 24 when it finally kicked off.
Just died.
Yeah.
In the middle of a playoff game.
And the, you know, little screen came up, and it was super petty. Like, from Xfinity, like, oh, Diamond is now in bankruptcy, and we've tried to figure it out, but they're making it difficult.
So here's what's happened. For all these years, people that do not watch these games have paid to watch these games. And in 2019, Dish and Sling, owned by the same company, which is Dish Network, Dish and Sling said, we don't think that many people care about these games. So we're not going to pay the premium price to be able to show these games. And I think they were afraid, hey, if we do this, we're going to have a mass exodus of customers. But let's see. And nothing happened. So then YouTube TV and everybody else was like, yeah, we're not going to pay for all this stuff. Trying to save money. People don't like paying the old cable prices. And so, it again, the streamers were like, no, we're not doing this. With Comcast, Comcast wants to move Bally Sports to a higher package. Ian, you have a regular Comcast package, right? Or do you have like a premium package?
We've been changing it lately. We have the sports package, and it has like we've had Red Zone, and
so you might still get Bally's on a different, you know, when they move it to a different
team.
Yeah,
I mean, we've had NHL Network, NFL Network, Red Zone. So it's not the basic package.
So the problem is that Bally's wants to be, it's really Diamond Sports Group is the company. They want to be on the basic package, because if they're not on the basic package, then there's no way for them to make the money that they have in order to pay their loans off. So they would die if they were moved to a separate package. So this comes from ESPN, a high-ranking league executive, and this league is baseball. A high-ranking Major League Baseball executive speaking on the condition of anonymity this month called the Comcast situation, quote-unquote, brutal, and that lamented the likelihood that, in his mind, nothing will change in the near future. Comcast will not move off of its demands. Exclusivity provisions will not allow Major League Baseball, or also hockey, will not allow Major League Baseball to offer a streaming option for local fans, and Diamond Sports Group won't make up for the loss of revenue. In about 5 weeks, it could all come to a head. A confirmation hearing is scheduled for July 29th through 30th, at which point a bankruptcy judge could determine whether Diamond, which runs the regional sports networks for the 38 Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL teams under the name Bally Sports, will move forward as a business or shut down entirely. It's a decision that could expedite drastic changes in a rapidly evolving media landscape, and one that will have a major impact on MLB's strongly held desire to place media rights under a national umbrella. Translation: at the end of next month, in literally 32 days, we will know if Bally Sports will still exist or not. That will be before the start of the Predator season, in which the preseason, I think, was announced yesterday. And I was very, very excited to see that there is no Predators preseason game that will wipe out a Titans Monday this year. But that is basically the middle of September. So we will know in about a month whether or not, and I am scared to death, that this judge is going to keep Bally Sports afloat. This is the same judge that I think allowed Alex Jones to keep InfoWars. And I'm worried he's been very sympathetic so far to Bally Sports throughout this process. I am rooting so hard for the death of Bally Sports, because as Alex Daugherty reported in the Tennessean, supposedly the Predators would take their games to an over-the-air channel. I don't know which channel it would be. In Vegas, they took a channel and they just named it Vegas 34. And that channel just has the Vegas games. Could you imagine how much more popular the Predators could be if they were on not just regular cable TV that everybody had before, but literally free TV? I think that's in the best interest. And you heard what Bettman said a year ago, saying, we've got to figure out how to get our games to our fans. I think it'd be great. And so I think Bally Sports has had their shot. I think it was a bad business decision when they made it. I think it was an even worse decision after COVID and after people started cutting the cord. And I just don't think, again, as that source lamented to ESPN, there's no way for them to make this money. There's just no way to do it. It's not possible. Benny in West Tennessee says, I'm glad I have Spectrum for the Cardinals, the Braves, and the Preds. Spectrum, I do not believe exists over here.
I don't think so.
So I'm not sure.
As far as cable goes, I'm not sure. You know, all these cable companies get real bent out of shape about other companies using the wires. How, like, digging the wires under the ground, like the actual cable, coaxial cable wires, like under the...
So you're saying that, like, Comcast gets mad if Spectrum
wants to try and use their stuff, or so, or vice, or whatever it is. Yeah, they get all bent out of shape about sharing their actual hard line wires under the ground.
I tell you, the more you know, the more you learn about this kind of stuff. I just want to watch the freaking games. Like, why is it so freaking difficult to watch the games? Like, I'm not, you know, I remember as a kid, I remember when Mike Tyson fought Lennox Lewis at the FedEx Forum years ago. This must have been 25 years ago. And I remember telling my dad, I was like, why can we not watch this? And he's like, it's pay-per-view. I said, what the hell's that? He's like, you have to literally pay to watch the fight.
I remember doing one of those, and it was over in, like, no time.
Really? Like, it was a knockout?
Oh, yeah. It was, like, Tyson Lewis. This was probably...
It might have been this one.
Early 2000. No, it was probably late 90s, maybe 2000, 2001, something like that.
I think it's the one in Memphis at the FedEx Forum.
Maybe. I can't remember where, but I remember...
And Lewis just beat the crap out of him.
It was over quick.
I mean, again, you're talking about paying, like, $90 to watch that fight. And I'm like, wait a minute, you pay to watch this? Yeah. Well, okay, I guess. And, you know, boxing's so niche that, like, they can get away with that. But the idea of, like, oh, no, I got to log in and download and sign up and no, I want to click the TV and I want to watch the freaking game. Is it that hard? Click on, click, go. Is it that hard? And then, not only that...
Everybody's cutting the cable, or cutting the cord.
The other thing is, if this were to come to fruition, and Bally Sports dies, which we're rooting for, if this were to come to fruition, and the Predators were to be put on a free channel, which, again, that's what Alex Daugherty reported. If that were to happen, you probably would be able to stream the games, because the Diamondbacks... The Padres and somebody else, you know, they broke up their deals with Bally Sports, and they're allowed to stream the games in the local market. Now, you have to pay for it, but you're allowed to stream it. Now, I wouldn't have to pay extra for it because I wouldn't have the NHL package, but I just have YouTube TV, and all the free channels are on that. So if it's, say, like, whatever the – what do they call the WB now? Is that what the CW is? UPN is my TV 30.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that the CW is what... Yeah.
It's still called CW.
The CW is what the WB used to be. And the CW has ACC games on it because Bally Sports broke up with the ACC.
Yeah, CW is still over the air.
And they went to the CW, and the CW games actually for the ACC aren't that bad. I've watched a couple because Louisville's played them. They're not that bad. So whatever let's say the CW has the Predators games. Well, I wouldn't have to pay extra for that. I already have that. And we could all watch the games.
And you really just need an antenna on your TV. And you would get it too.
I've been thinking about this. About how last season, the Predators went on that winning streak. Or the Predators would win a game. And I remember in 2018. Now, the Predators were the hottest thing in 2018 because they had just gone to the Cup Final. And so everybody was excited about them and whatnot. And so there was a different vibe than there was this past year, no doubt. But when they went on that winning streak, and I'd be sitting here being like, and last night that was a great pass by O'Reilly that set up the guy in front of the net, and he scored. And I would wonder in my head as we're doing this, how many people were able to actually watch this game last night? Whereas when we come on the air on a Monday, on a Titans Monday, I know everybody that's listening was able to watch the Titan game the night before. And it's time for us to get back to that with hockey. And the Braves. Now, I do wonder what would happen with the Braves. Because if Bally Sports dies, would the Braves go to whatever channel the Preds go to? Or would the Braves not be on the air? Would we just be allowed to stream them? Like, what would happen with the Braves? That I am fascinated by.
I mean, if you get, you know, fancy new bunny ears with the digital and all this kind of stuff, there's multiple spinoffs of channels. And you probably get more over the air channels than you would think with these digital bunny ears nowadays.
Like the Ion channel that just runs like reruns of Hawaii Five-0.
Yep. And like, I don't know. I've never even heard of some of these channels, you know, in Nashville. Different, you know, you get QVC, I guess, still comes in through Nashville.
Was the Home Shopping Network a public channel?
That's
QVC, right?
I think that might be, they might have two different ones, but they're spinoffs. CW is still there. UPN 30 is still around. You know, the Ion TV and HSN and QVC are both over the air.
Are you looking at like what's like a breakdown of the over the air channels?
Yeah, I'm looking at a list right now. It's hard to keep track because they have them listed throughout like different cities. So like, you know, they have a list of channels from Nashville.
Is Telemundo over the air?
Yes.
Is, let's see, Comet over the air?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I think I saw that.
I've never heard of that channel before, but they do show reruns of Stargate SG-1, which is a good show. They got some show right now on called Grimm. I don't know what that is. The CW, QVC, Home Shopping Network, MyTV 30. I think those are probably all the... put the Predators on one of those. I mean, who's honestly watching Grimm right now on Comet? And the answer is nobody. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman & Company. The NFL has responded to their $4.7 billion bill that they now have to pay thanks to that jury in California. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. A little nugget here. Ian says that the Vancouver Canucks have re-signed Tyler Myers for 3 years, $3 million per year, which means that the defensive market might be a little more depressed than we thought.
Perhaps.
So, Alex Doherty at the Tennessean is reporting that the Predators are not bringing back Alexander Carrier. According to Alex Doherty, he said that... make sure I get this one right. He says it's not likely that Carrier will return or that the expectation is that Carrier is not going to return to the Nashville Predators. So, Ian, you have the guarantee sheet up in front of you.
I do, yeah.
I vowed 2 years ago that Alexander Carrier, in fact, what Alex said was based on what I've heard today, I think Alex Carrier is gone. I said 2 years ago that Alexander Carrier would not be on the team in 2 years.
You said that on Tuesday, May 31st of 2022.
Okay. That was because Chris Mason came on the show, and he wanted to debate me on how great of a coach John Hines was. You remember that great debate we had?
Sure.
And you talk about debates, that was a debate. And he said that I didn't know what I was talking about. In fact, he cursed because I said Alexander Carrier sucked. And then I vowed that 2 years from then, I said in 2 years, Carrier will not be on the team. Does the guarantee count? I think it does.
I think it might, unfortunately.
Yes! I thought you were going to push back on that. I thought you were going to be a hater, and I thought you were going to go, no, that was May of 22,
yeah.
And now it's July. But you know what I mean when I say 2 years?
Yeah, this offseason, you know, no deals or stuff really gets figured out by the end of May. So by the start of the draft, I think that's probably fair, or free agency.
Yes! Count it. So the NFL lost their lawsuit over Sunday Ticket, which they should have because Sunday Ticket is an absolute racket. And they lost their lawsuit, and they've got to pay $4.7 billion. The NFL has vowed to appeal the case and believes that it will get thrown out on its merits. Sometimes I think people don't understand what the word appeal means. I think people think when they get a verdict they don't like, they can just appeal it. That's not really how this works. Appealing a verdict means that there has to be something materially about the case that was adjudicated incorrectly in order for you to win on appeal. You can't just say, well, I don't like the verdict, I appeal. That's not how this works. Like, it's not like, oh, no. They found me guilty, but I don't like it. I appeal. No, it's got to be the evidence that they used should not have been admissible because of this law that judge didn't respect. And I'm sure the NFL will find something to, you know, point at. But they lost, and they should pay. Because Sunday Ticket is a racket. That's it for us. Stillman and Company, 2 o'clock hours next.